Our Heavenly Father, we want to thank You tonight. We have this wonderful, blessed privilege to enter into the house of the Lord. We thank You that we've had the privilege to meet with You in prayer, to lift our hearts to You, but moreover, as You have made Yourself real in us. Lord, as we've gathered here tonight in this time, we need of the touch of the Spirit of God. Lord, I pray that all the things of this world would be vanished from our hearts and our minds, that we might allow You in these moments to do whatever it is You want to do. Lord, I give You permission. I pray that each one in this room give You permission to speak unto their heart, to open us to whatever it is You have. Bless in these moments. Get the glory for Yourself. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, verse number 22, we learn there that the Jews require a sign. They were a people who were always looking for signs. When we go back to the Old Testament, we find that God had given them a number of signs, two of which I'd like for us to think about. These signs were given to the people of Israel particularly as symbol of His divine favor upon them. We find that the first one was given in the time of Abraham, who is considered to be the father of the Jew. And in Genesis chapter 17, verse 9 and 10, it says, God said unto Abraham, Thou shalt keep My covenant, therefore, thou and thy seed after thee in their generations. And He says, This is My covenant which ye shall keep between Me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man child among you shall be circumcised. And so we find that from that time onward, those who were of Abraham, those who were recognized later as Jewish people, circumcision was a seal, or can we say a sign, of that particular person being a Jew. It was something peculiarly given by God to them. Others, of course, we know picked it up, but it was something given to them. There's another we find in the book of Exodus, very curious to me. Matter of fact, a couple of weeks ago we talked about it, and that is the Sabbath. We find in the book of Genesis that after 6 days God rested, and that was the seventh day, which is the Sabbath day. But we do not find it mentioned again until we get into the book of Exodus. We find it first mentioned about chapter 12 and 13, where God wants the Jewish people to observe it. But I want you to listen to this, because this is very interesting to me. In chapter 31, God says this. He says, Wherefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations, for a perpetual covenant. And then it goes on and says, It is a sign between Me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day He rested and was refreshed. We have absolutely no proof. We have nothing in the Word of God that says until that time they ever kept the Sabbath. Don't know if the patriarchs did or not. Doesn't say anything about it. But now in chapter 31, God says to the Jewish people, I want you to keep this. It is a sign. Now, I think about that. If it's a sign, evidently it hadn't been practiced by too many people or anybody. And God says, that is something that I want between you and Me in this particular manner. And so we find that these two things, along with many other things, became a symbol or a sign of God's hand upon these people. One was at the call of Abraham, or at him bringing him out of the Ur of the Chaldees, establishing him as the father of the faith, the father of the Jew. The other, of course, was with the lawgiver and the man Moses, as God gave this other wonderful sign that was between they and God's people. But we find that something took place among the Jewish people. And that is, they made these signs, they made these seals, if you please, their spirituality. And they failed to see their intent. We get the book of Romans. It's interesting. Chapter 2, it says this. And it says, And shall not uncircumcision, which is by nature, if it fulfill the law, judge thee, who by the letter and circumcision does transgress the law? For he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly. And circumcision is of the heart in the spirit and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men but of God. What they failed to see, that which was outer, really inner. We learn as we find the Lord Jesus coming on the scene that so often He had to reprimand, especially the Sadducees, the Pharisees, the lawyers, because it was all really about the externals rather than internals. It was about the outer man rather than the inner man. And thus we find that the Lord really chided them often. One of the things that we see is as the local church began to come on the scene in the early apostolic days, this kind of attitude spilled over into that early church. In Galatians, he talks about, says, as many desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, lest they should suffer persecution by the cross of Christ. And he's talking about those who are wanting them to come under this particular rite of the Jewish people. And they failed to understand that it was about the heart that is the most important thing. Oh, how we need to understand. We need to deal with the inner man. When we deal with the inner man, the outer man is going to follow. For that which builds from within is going to express itself on the outside. We cannot make a Christian out of somebody demanding them to have the externals in place. Those can be copycatted. Those things can be done and not have any spirituality. And we need to remember that and understand that. Listen to this in Romans chapter 14. He says this, "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another." And the Lord is trying to teach us, I believe, a very, very important lesson. And that is all how we need to understand when we get the inner man in the proper perspective, other things begin to fall in place. Are the externals important? Yes, indeed they are. Yes, they are. But they do not make the heart right. It must be that which is inner, that which God wants to remake within us. Some want to make a new, more child of God follow the law that they could never follow to start with. We find in Romans chapter 8, it says in verse 3, "For what the law could not do, then it was weak through the flesh, God sending His Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh." And what we learn from that chapter is, hey, it is not through the law, but it's through the Spirit of God. By the way, it's the Spirit of God who can enable us to live the law. Listen to this. Galatians 2, verse number 20. It says, "I am crucified with Christ." If you're saved tonight, that's true. Amen. You've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, He says, "I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live," where? "In the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me." You know what we need to teach our young people? You know what we need to teach each other? You know what we need to understand in our own hearts, in our own lives, is that the way that we are going to really be doers of the Word is as we allow God to make us beers. Not beers. Beers. Okay? Don't get that one wrong. God wants us to be where in the Spirit of God. You know, though a Christian attends church, gives of his finances, dresses modestly, anoints his body with some foo-foo spray, thank God for foo-foo spray. That was Brother Wells' old comments. Amen. These are not his true markings. I want to share with you tonight in James chapter 2 what I believe are the true markings of a child of God. Now let's read James chapter number 2. And I'm going to start in verse number 1. And I'm going to read down to verse number, verse number 9. It says, "My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. For if there come into your assembly a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, I'm glad that word hasn't changed its meaning in the Word of God. And say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. Are ye not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? Now think about it. He said, here are some people who make judgments based on the externals. In this case, he's talking about a ring. He's talking about goodly apparel. He's talking about that which they're wearing. He's talking about the externals. He says, are ye not then partial in yourselves and are become judges of evil thoughts? Now notice what he says. Hearken, listen. Hearken, my beloved brethren. Hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? But ye've despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? He's saying we are judging the externals. We're judging their financial situation. Don't you understand what you are doing? He says, do not they blaspheme that worthy name by the which ye are called? Now notice verse 8. If ye fulfill the royal law according to the Scriptures, thou shalt love thy neighbors thyself. Ye do well. Very, very blatantly, bluntly, the seal, the sign, that which differentiates God's people is that which is coming out of the heart. It's love. Notice what he calls it. He calls it a royal law. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. When we begin to focus on the externals, we become very judgmental. But God wants us to focus on the heart. God wants us to allow that which is inside, that which is Jesus Christ, to what? Live Himself through us. And that is through our love one to another. Oh my goodness. You say, preacher, that is the sign of a Christian. Can you think of a better? To be known that we just love people. The mark of Christ that we bear in our body. The Apostle Paul said, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. I think the greatest mark of the Lord Jesus Christ is to bear within this body of ours a love for God and a love for our fellow man. The Lord Jesus Christ, as He prayed in that great intercessory prayer, if we really want to call it the Lord's Prayer, I think it would probably be a more applicable term than what we put into the book of Matthew. But in John chapter 17, the Lord Jesus Christ, He prays for you and for me. And when He prays for us, I want you to listen to what He prays for. It says that they all may be one, as Thou, Father, art in me, and I in Thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that Thou hast sent me. How are we going to be one with each other when we have strife and bitterness and anger within us? What is going to draw us one to another? It's the love of God. Now, I'm not talking what the liberals do when they're talking about how everybody is so loved by God, He's not going to send anybody to hell. And I mean, you know, this guy lived like the devil, but God loved him so much, He's so excited to have him in glory today. That kind of sloppiness is not of the Word of God. But what is of the Word of God? God does love us, amen? And when God comes into our lives, He creates within us this beautiful thing. And it ought to shine out. And when we're allowing the Spirit of God to really move and to work in us, it's an amazing thing that we begin to really fall in love with people. And we begin to have that love. I have found something else. Through the years, I've become a little more expressive. But, sometimes we're not real expressive in things. But boy, we love somebody. We're going to let them know somehow. Amen. We're going to do that. Almost every night. We got this little procedure, I guess you might call it. It's time to go to bed. Yours truly cannot sleep on a flat bed any longer, so I got this stack of pillows, and I just hate it. But, old age really changes things. And I sleep on the, I don't know, I'm on this side, she's on this side. It's the way we do it. I got to sleep on my, what's this? This is my right hand. Wedding ring, left hand. I have to sleep on my right side because of this thing they call, I guess, reflux or GERD or whatever it is. So I got to sleep a little bit propped up. And because she's on that side, I'm not facing her. Sometimes I step a little longer than she does. So I come in, I sit down the side of the bed, and I generally give her a kiss night. And sometimes we give each other a little little hard time, sometimes really nutty, you know what I'm saying? And anyways, we spend those moments together and give her a kiss goodnight. I'm not going to tell you everything, but we always just say, tell each other we love each other. I am in trouble when I go home today. I got in trouble last week. I'm in trouble again tonight. I think I'll just go to the altar right now. You need that job. You're just having too much fun. Oh, my. Sue, turn around and help me out of this, will you? You heard the little boy is being pulled out of the church service, and he'd been crying and just carrying on. And as they're going out, he shouts back at the crowd, "Pray for me." He knows what's going to happen. Anyway, we express our love one to another. I counseled a couple one time. I said to the man, I said, "You love her?" And he said, "Yeah, I do." And she looked at him real strange. I said, "Have you told her lately?" He said, "Yeah, I did 7 years ago." I said, "Really? That was big of you." He said, "Yeah, I'll be able to tell her once, so it'll last, a lifetime." How many women have like that? She didn't like it either. But when we really love, we have a way to express that. Amen? And it's that which marks us. It marks us. The folks where you work at, they ought to understand there's something different about you. Not because you're a hard-headed Baptist and you got all these rules and all these different things that you're going through, and they think, boy, you can't do anything at that church, No, it's because you have a love they've never seen expressed before. That's what speaks to the world. That's what marks us. The Jew had something to mark them. Set them apart, made them different. But what sets us apart is the love of God. Listen, let that mark show. Don't suppress it. Don't hold it back. Allow it to flow. By the way, if you can't love these ornery people sitting around you, you're going to have a mighty tough time out in the world. These who love the same God that you love, in life, we're going to have a tough time expressing it to anybody else. Express that love. Let folks know it. Now I'm going to give you a little test. It's not a test where you got to answer a question, I'm going to fail you or flunk you or give you a passing grade. Actually, it's an assignment. Think of some of the unlovely people in the world and allow yourself to express your love to them. For when we were very unlovely, Christ did that for us. Amen. Wow. They might even be Christians. Oh, how we need to do that. Having that love one for another. Well, let's go, Lord, in prayer tonight. Father, thank You this evening that You are so concerned about changing us from the inside out. Lord, that we might learn how to love each other. Lord, we put up all these barriers. God, break them. Just tear those things down. Lord, how sinful of us to not allow that which marks us to be revealed. Lord, those things that we sometimes get hurt and then we just draw away and all those dumb things. God, forgive us. Help us to be people who express it. Allow it to show forth. Lord, if we know You, it's there. Sometimes we suppress it and sometimes we almost cancel it. But, oh God, I pray that You would allow that to be re-energized in each of our lives. That it might show forth as never before. Father, tonight, just bless in this. May Your Spirit have wondrous control, for God is love. With He in our hearts, then that must be that which expresses. Work and bless, we pray, in these moments. Maybe there's a need tonight, Father, of someone to just cry out to You for some need in their life. Maybe there's some need of repentance tonight. Maybe there's been anger and frustration, and there's been so much fleshly desire and pride and all of those things that have disallowed love to be shown. God, may forgiveness be sought and found. Have Your way and will in this time of invitation. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Therefore, just stand where you're at. Christine, if you just...